No, it's 8:30, and we come to Saturday Night Theatre. At 8 o'clock on the morning of Friday, March the 23rd, 1827, Baron Hulloch took his seat on the bench at Lancaster. Although others were certainly involved, we are only really concerned with one man, Edward Gibbon Wakefield, and this, in substance, is how he was charged.
The jurors of our Lord the King, upon their oath, present that Elizabeth Dalby, by lawful means, that is to say, by the consent, direction, and appointment of William Turner, Esquire, the father of Ellen Turner, a maid and unmarried, had the order, keeping, education, and governance of the said Ellen Turner. And the jurors present that on the 7th day of March, 1826, at Manchester, Edward Gibbon Wakefield, gentlemen, unlawfully, wickedly, and injuriously, and for the sake of lucre and gain, did conspire, combine, confederate with divers other persons, whose names are unknown, by divers subtle stratagems and contrivances, and by false representations, unlawfully to take and convey the said Ellen Turner, a maid unmarried and within the age of 16 years, from the possession of Elizabeth Dalby, and did then marry her at Gretna Green in Scotland, against the peace of our Lord the King, his crown and dignity.
The Road to Gretna Green by Peter Hunt.
What's the time, Peter?
By my watch, nearly 8:30.
What do you mean, sir?
Good, we must be just about there. Now, let's go over the ground once again. You have the letter?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So, you go in first and find this Miss Dalby. Understand, you are Mr. Turner's butler, engaged after Ellen Turner returned to school. You realize, don't you, that if you say you'd been engaged during the Christmas holiday, Miss Ellen would know you.
I understand.
Good. The impression you must give to Miss Dalby is that I'm tired, having traveled from Paris. You've come to meet me in Liverpool for my business meeting with Mr. Turner. I am known to Mr. Turner, but not well. We simply have some business together. Understood?
Yes.
Make a thing about how tired and how important I am, how quickly all this had to be done. I will come into the school as soon as Miss Dalby has had time to read the letter and act upon it. Pierre, everything depends on the impression we make.
You will behave like a butler to a high sheriff should behave, eh?
Of course, sir.
May I ask a question of you, sir?
Yes, yes.
If I may venture a suggestion, sir, you are attempting a rouge et noir. It is a gamble, Mister.
Yeah. You know what I want to do in the world. And my wife died before she could inherit her fortune. I had nothing. And 2 children.
Yes?
Yes. First, there's the future of the children. Foster life in Paris is not good for them. They must be brought up to the way of life I intend for them. That is my first concern. And second, if I am to succeed with my views on how this country is to develop the colonies, I must become a member of Parliament. And I cannot become a member unless I have money. I have no money. Mr. Turner's daughter, Ellen, is an heiress. If I can win her, I will have a wife for my children and her money for what I plan to do in public life.
You do see the logic in that?
Yes, sir, I
see the logic. I still think it is a gamble. Rouge et noir. Yours are no better than that.
This must be the place we're slowing down. A gamble? Well, I succeeded once before, didn't I? And no one was hurt.
That's true, sir.
Now, emphasize the urgency of our traveling on as soon as possible. And don't drink. English servants don't.
Never, sir?
Well, hardly ever. And never in public.
Ah, I understand, sir.
Hmm.
Miss Dolby? Madame Dolby?
Oh, no, sir. Just the maid servant.
Would you be kind enough to inform your lady that Mr. Wakefield is here with an urgent letter concerning Miss Turner?
Yes, sir. What is it, really? A letter concerning Miss Turner, Miss Dolby.
Oh, I see. Good morning, sir. Would you please come in?
You are most kind, madame.
Miss Dolby. You understand, sir, that my sisters and I have this establishment for young ladies. You have a letter concerning Miss Turner?
Yes, from Dr. Ainsworth. I know the contents, Miss Dolby, but forgive me, caution is necessary.
Oh, I see. Would you care for some refreshment?
Well, we have traveled a long way. I would appreciate a small glass of brandy.
Oh, brandy. Oh, yes, just so. Mary?
Yes, Miss Dolby?
Will you fetch some brandy?
Yes, miss.
Now, Mr.
Miss Dolby, is that correct?
Yes.
I am butler to the High Sheriff, Mr. Turner.
Oh, yes, yes, I see.
I am here with an English gentleman, Mr. Wakefield. He is waiting outside in the carriage. He has instructed me to bring this letter to you from Dr. Ainsworth. Mrs. Turner's doctor.
Oh, you know its contents?
Yes. Forgive me, mademoiselle. We must be quick. I am to await your instructions, mademoiselle, until you have read the letter. I urge you to be quick.
I must see Mr. Wakefield.
Oh, of course. He is waiting outside to see if you will meet him.
Oh, of course, yes. Will you ask him in?
At once, mademoiselle. You will see when you have read the letter that we must act quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure that can be done once I have met Mr. Wakefield.
Speaking of Monday night, 12:30, marks the 6th. Madam, I write to you by the desire of Mrs. Turner of Shrigley, who has been seized with a sudden and dangerous attack of paralysis. Mrs. Turner wishes to see her daughter immediately. A steady servant will take this letter to fetch Miss Turner, and I beg that no time may be lost in her departure, as though I do not think Mrs. Turner is in immediate danger, it is probable she may soon become incapable of recognizing anyone. Mrs. Turner particularly wishes that her daughter should not be informed of the extent of her danger, as without this precaution, Miss Turner might be very anxious on the journey. And this house is so crowded and in such confusion and alarm that Mrs. Turner does not wish anyone to accompany her daughter from the school. The servant is instructed not to let the boys drive too fast, as Miss Turner is rather fearful in a carriage. Postscript. The best thing to be said to Miss Turner is that Mrs. Turner wishes to have her home rather sooner for the approaching removal to the new house, and the servant is instructed to give no other reason in case Miss Turner should ask him any questions. Mrs. Turner is very anxious that her daughter should not be frightened and trusts to your judgment to prevent it. She also desires me to add that her sister or niece or myself, should she continue unable, will not fail to write to you by the post. John Ainsworth, M.D. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, the bell. The brandy. Oh.
Miss Dolby.
Sir?
May I speak with you? Mr. Turner's butler has just delivered you a letter. My name is Wakefield.
Oh, yes. Yes, please do come in, sir.
You're very kind.
I was looking for brandy for Mr. Turner, sir.
Ah. Please, Miss Strawberry, do not concern yourself with him. He can take the matter up again when we reach Shrigley.
Will you come to our drawing room, Mr. Wakefield?
If it will not offend you, ma'am, I will wait here for Miss Turner, if that is convenient.
Forgive me, sir. She is in my care. Do you know her? Does she know you?
I have never had the pleasure. Mr. Turner is an old business acquaintance. I have business with him at Shrigley. He's away from home. I understand his wife has a seizure of some kind.
Yes, that is so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear the rumours confirmed. But surely you have details in the letter from Dr. Ainsworth, is it?
Dr. Ainsworth, yes. You know him?
No, not at all, Miss Strawberry. I am simply asked by Mr. Turner, whom I am to meet, to escort his daughter back to her home. He cannot be here, or else I'm sure he would do that himself. It so happens that I am now on my way back to see him. I had business in Liverpool. The carriage is comfortable, journey comparatively short. I am at his service.
You are a married man, Mr. Wakefield.
Indeed so, ma'am. I have two young children. I have a fair notion of how Mr. Turner must feel at the present time. Miss Dolby, I hesitate to press the point on you, but if this matter is to be completed today, before nightfall...
And you will be taking up Mr. Turner on the way?
As fast as the horses will take us. Miss Strawby, Mrs. Turner is very ill. If we are to act at all, we must act quickly.
I will fetch Ellen to pack her things, Mr. Wakefield. It will take only a few minutes. Would you care for a glass of Madeira to speed you on your way?
Well, that is a most agreeable notion.
I'll see to it. Excuse me, sir.
Your servant, ma'am. Governor?
Sir?
Here.
Yes, sir?
Governor, I appreciate your help, but if you ask for brandy again in a school for young ladies... Now, have the horses ready. We have a long way to go. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Governor. Hello. Hello, Vic.
Wakefield.
Hi. Miss Storby.
Sir, I have started to make the necessary arrangements. I have told Ellen...
Thank you, Miss Storby. And this must be Miss Turner.
Yes, sir.
Miss Turner. Ellen, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Miss Turner, I have the honor to present myself. Edward Gibbon Wakefield from Paris. I have business with your father. Excuse me, have you spoken with Miss Storby?
Did you mean, sir, going back to Shrigley? Yes. Miss Storby has told me about the move to the new house. It's exciting.
The new house close to Shrigley.
The new house close to Shrigley Hall.
The important thing, sir, is that Ellen is escorted quickly home before the sun goes down.
I see no problem here, Miss Storby. Miss Ellen, are you reasonably ready?
May I have a few minutes, sir?
Naturally. But we ought to get you home as fast as possible. I must see to the carriage so that it is comfortable for you. It will take a few moments. Miss Storby, Miss Turner, if you will excuse me.
Seems a kind gentleman, Miss Storby. I believe so, Miss Ellen. Ellen?
Yes, Miss Storby?
I will go to Shrigley in the morning to see that all is well with your mother. You must look after your mother. If she is not well, we must do all we can for her.
Yes, Miss Storby. Is she all right?
I believe so, dear child. But you must hurry to her. The new house.
But I thought you hinted just now that something was wrong with her.
Oh, so I did. And perhaps she is not so well as of late, but you must take no account of this. As I understand it, she has not been herself the last few days before the move to your new house, and she wishes your help.
But who told you that she is unwell, Miss Storby?
I had a message from Dr. Ainsworth.
Dr. Ainsworth?
Dr. Ainsworth. Yes, he must be new.
Oh, I see.
Now, you run upstairs. Put a comb through your hair. Prepare yourself for your homecoming. You are the daughter of the High Sheriff, and you are to travel with a very elegant gentleman.
He seems very pleasant.
Yes. Oh, now, off with you, and be quick. Oh, Mr. Wakefield, sir.
Thank you.
I have sent for a glass of Madeira.
Oh, most kind of you, ma'am.
Miss Storby, Mr. Wakefield.
Ah. Is Miss Ellen ready?
Very shortly. I must confess, Mr. Wakefield, I feel a little disturbed about handing my charge to your care. You do understand, we don't know you.
A very fair question. But Mr. Turner's servant is here. Will it satisfy you if I say that we are to meet Miss Ellen's father and Dr. Ainsworth in Manchester, where they will take over the whole business, which really has nothing to do with me. I'm simply acting as a help on the way. Ah, the Madeira. Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, is there something wrong, sir?
Not at all, Miss Dobby. Most agreeable glass.
My sisters and I cannot take Madeira, Mr. Wakefield. This bottle has been with us many years. We last opened it for my dear brother several years ago.
Really? I would never have guessed it.
One of my other pupils, Jamie Greenway, is helping Ellen with her packing and so on.
Ah, yes, I know what happens. My children in Paris are just the same. I would wager you, one wants to know what's going on, and the other is busy with a drawer full of clothes and pushing the most expensive silks into bags of one sort or another. One is the active of the one who has to do something now, and the other needs material for all the things she will tell the other young ladies when Ellen has got into a coach and four and waved goodbye to you for the present.
I hope she will be back with us soon. She's a very open and confiding girl.
Are you sure, Miss Storby, that you won't travel with us? There's room for you.
I was thinking about that as you were speaking, Mr. Wakefield. But then I have my obligations to my other charges.
Ah.
After all, it's quite early from here to Macclesfield, and then Fridley Hall is only something in the region of 45 miles.
Well, you're very welcome. There's plenty of room in the coach, I assure you.
Oh, no, that's so kind of you. I do have to go and see a relative in Macclesfield. But what I could do is take the early coach tomorrow, so that's 4 hours or thereabouts.
Good. Then, since I'm staying the night there, we shall meet again. And you will be able to settle your mind about your... Am I right? Your most important pupil.
Yes. It would settle my mind that I had done everything I should do.
That is very conscientious of you, Miss Dolby.
She is the daughter of the High Sheriff.
Of course. That's why we're taking all this trouble.
Come on, Jane. I thought you were going to help me. Come to the window a moment. What is it? Point him out to me. Is that Mr. Wakefield? No, that's the new butler Papa sent to fetch me. I've never seen him before. That's not your father's carriage, is it? No. That's odd. Papa must have bought another one. Hey, there he is going out to it now. That's Mr. Wakefield from Paris. My, what a beau! And so handsome. Yes, he's rather. Come on. The packing. Ellen, do you think it's quite safe for you to be travelling with two complete strangers?
No. Ellen. Don't be a goose. If Miss Dolby is satisfied, then I am. He's obviously a gentleman. Besides, which would you rather have? A gentleman's company home to Mama and Papa, or Miss Dolby and mathematics?
Well, I do envy you. I shall miss you. I shall miss you too. But I expect I shall be back to algebra very soon. I'll write to you from the new house. Where is it?
I don't know. For that matter, I don't know anything. Isn't it exciting? Come down with me.
Are you warm enough, Miss Ellen?
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Wakefield.
Glad to be away from school?
Oh, yes. I love Miss Dolby, we all do.
But?
Well, she seems to think that all we should think about is arithmetic and music.
She harps on you,
yes. I think her idea is that we should all be perfect young ladies with no other object in life but to be good wives and mothers.
Is that such a bad idea?
No, of course I hope to be married.
But you would like a spice of adventure?
Oh, yes. Indeed, I would. I mean, this is an adventure, moving to a new house from Shrigley when I didn't expect it.
You like the unexpected?
Yes. But I should like to go on and on to Paris, the pyramids. One of my friends has been to India. I'm sorry, Mr. Wakefield, I'm so excited. You have been to Paris, Mr. Wakefield?
Oh, indeed, yes. Yes, many times. Should you care to go there?
Yes, indeed I would.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Meantime, we shall be in Manchester presently.
I don't think Mama would approve my going to an inn.
Your father will be here directly. Tevenot's gone for him.
I see. Will you excuse me a few minutes, Mr. Wakefield?
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. And then we'll have a little food. Ah, landlord. Thank you. Set it all down here.
Sure.
Some pie. Good. Bread, butter, cheese. Yes, that will do. And Madeira. Ah, yes, that's the right stuff. Ah. Mmm. Delicious Madeira.
What all the young lady, Jakesy?
What, young lady?
The young woman has just gone out, she.
Young woman? Yes, you're right. She'll have some Madeira, too.
And will there be any other guests, she?
Other guests? No. No other guests.
Thank you, sir. Will there be anything else?
Yes, have the horses changed, would you? We have a long journey ahead.
You're taking the Lancaster Road, are you, sir?
Who told you that?
Why, the French servant with you, Mr. Turner's boy, just a few moments ago. I'll see to it straight away.
Landlord, you have brought the food?
Here? Did you tell the landlord we're going north via Lancaster? Well, did you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You're sorry? You realize that this could jeopardize the whole plan. Once Turner hears from Miss Dorby that we came to Manchester, he's bound to check up here. And what will the landlord tell him? Lancaster, yes. He'll be after us like a shot. We shall have to throw him off the scent. Have you got the map with you?
In my pocket.
Yes. Good, now, let's see. A detour. I've got an idea that may serve us well. Hmm. Good. Now, give me the note we prepared. Here she is, coming back. Leave us, and just be careful what you say.
That's it.
Ellen, come and sit down.
I am quite hungry. Where's Papa?
You eat. I'll explain. Now, you remember how we were joking about school and arithmetic?
Yes, but what about Papa?
He's not coming here. I've had a message from Mr. Grimstitch, is it?
That's Papa's solicitor.
Ah, I see. Well, there's some trouble. Your father's a rich man, isn't he?
I don't know how much. Papa says I'm an heiress.
That's right. That's a term you use when there's a lot of money about. Your father is a very rich man. I know this from my business dealings with him. Now, a great deal of his money is tied up in a bank in Macclesfield, and the bank has failed. Usually it's the customers that go to the wall. In this case, it's the bank.
My friend Jane Greenway. Well, her father lost all his money like that, and she had to leave school for quite a while till he put things right. Ah. I'm sure Papa will put matters right. Just a minute. Jane was taken from school under some pretense that her mother was ill. Is that why you came for me today? To get me away without anyone knowing? You knew it all the time.
Yes, Ellen, I arranged the whole thing with your father. He didn't want you upset in front of your friends. He didn't want Miss Dalby to know the truth. Well, it's none of her business.
But what did you say to Miss Dalby?
That's where your father has been very clever. He gave her just enough information in a letter signed by a fictitious Dr. Ainsworth. She knows a little about your family, but not much. She knows that your mother has delicate health, so she wouldn't be too surprised to learn that she was seriously ill.
She's not ill?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's wonderful news, Mr. Wakefield. So now we can go straight to Shrigley Hall.
No, I'm afraid not yet. I said your mother's not ill, but she is desperately worried.
Yes?
Yes. The bank failure means that your father is £60,000 in debt and with no hope of repaying his creditors quickly. And sheriff's officers have been sent to arrest him for his debt, so he's on the run with Mr. Grimstitch, hoping that matters will improve in a few weeks or days. As things stand, his possessions can be seized. Shrigley Hall, everything. Your mother would be homeless. Do you see?
But there's my inheritance. That must clear my papa's debt, surely. He can have it all.
Spoken like a loving daughter, Ellen, but your father cannot touch a penny of your own fortune unless he has your consent in writing.
I can give that immediately.
No, no, I'm afraid you cannot. Your consent has to be in your father's presence and before a solicitor. Only that makes it legal.
I see. Well, if Mr. Grimstitch is with Papa... Oh, Mr. Wakefield, let's go to them. Are they hiding in Manchester?
No, the note I have tells me that they are travelling north in your father's own carriage to Kendal.
Kendal? That's miles away.
Well, I'm afraid so. The note says that they plan to travel via Huddersfield and hope that we may catch them up in Halifax.
How far is that?
About 26 miles. We should reach there by nightfall.
But that means I shall not be home today.
Well, if we reach your father, I'm sure he would want to drive through the night with you back to Shrigley. Oh, by the by, don't mention our route to the landlord. If the sheriff's officers are nosing about, we don't want to lead them to your father, do we?
Mr. Wakefield, you have been most kind to me. Can I persuade you to help me now?
Are you sure you would not rather that I escort you back to Shrigley? After all, I did promise to take you home.
No, I know my papa will thank you for the family if you deliver me to him. I must go to him.
Very well. The horses should be ready.
Devno!
Now you must put all worries out of your pretty head. Think of it as an adventure. And you must call me Edward. So tedious to be Mr. Wakefield. Really, there's only a matter of
15 years difference in our ages.
Very well. Edward. Edward, have you had many adventures?
Oh, some interesting times, yes. Government service, here and there. King's messenger.
How exciting. In far-off places.
Well, not so far. Paris, Turin, Genoa.
Dealing with diplomats and spies.
Both sorts of rogues, yes.
And your wife, you are married?
I was. Eliza died 6 years ago.
Oh, I am sorry.
There's no reason why you should have known. It's long past. At least I have a son and daughter's compensation. Eliza was very like you, you know. In a curious way, there are other similarities. Her father was rich. I was a mere nothing by comparison. £150 a year. He was worth over £150,000.
But you did not marry for money.
Not at all. It was love at first sight. As I've said, though, I was not considered a suitable match for a young woman with £30,000 coming to her. However, we found our own way round that. I bribed two servants to drive north from Tunbridge Wells, where Eliza and her mother were staying on holiday. The clues we left behind were to the effect that we had made for Gretna Green for a Scots marriage. In fact, we took another carriage and made straight for Calais. Oh, yes, there was quite a rumpus. Eliza was a ward in Chancery, which made matters quite delicate. But all came right in the end. What I mean is, once you were married, there is very little the law can do about it. And dear Mrs. Paddle, her mother, became reconciled to it. When there's true love in a match, what can you do about a fait accompli?
I suppose nothing very much. And were you happy?
Yes, very. Eliza was charming, modest, a little reserved, perhaps, but she had an excellent, acute sense. And above all, she was very kind. I was heartbroken when she died 6 years ago.
Have you thought of marrying again?
Yes, often. And especially for the sake of my two children. Nina, the eldest, is rather delicate. And Jerningham is 6. As you can imagine, they are just the age when they need a mother.
Where are they now?
In Paris. A friend of mine is looking after them. I say, forgive me. It's getting dark. We must be near Halifax. Let's hope for good news there.
Yes. Though I shall be sorry to see the end of this adventure in a way.
Oh, why is that?
I don't really know. This is rather more fun than music and arithmetic at Miss Dolby's.
You don't care for school, then?
I like it well enough, but I'm ready to leave.
For life's great adventure, eh? Now, look out of the window, Ellen. You can see the lights.
Halifax, sir. The horse and hounds.
Thank you, Turner. Just escort Miss Turner to the parlour for a rest and some refreshment. But do not speak to any strangers. If the sheriff's office is about, I do not want the family exposed to any embarrassment.
I understand, sir.
I'll go to the landlord to find out how the land lies. Oh, and order me a bottle of brandy.
Will you be comfortable here, mademoiselle?
I suppose so, Tevenot.
Will you take a glass of Madeira?
No. No, no. That would never do. What would my father say if he found me here late at night drinking Madeira?
Evidemment. I will order some hot chocolate for you.
That would be quite appropriate.
Monsieur.
Edward. Why? What's the matter?
Just let me take a glass of brandy. Really, this matter is getting beyond a joke.
But tell me.
Well, the long and short of it is that your father and Mr. Grimstitch are not here.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Grimstitch left a brief and obviously hurried note. But to be frank with you, I was so put out when I read it that I tore it up. Well, enough is enough. They changed horses quickly and have set out for Kendall.
Kendall? Where is Kendall?
Oh, it's a long way. I tell you, it's an all-night journey.
But why should they go to Kendall?
Well, there can only be one reason. They're making for the Scottish border, where they'll be out of reach of English law.
Oh, Edward, what shall we do? I feel so helpless.
No. Courage. Here, take a sip of brandy. No. That'll at least warm you up. There. Now, resolution. We have two alternatives. I can arrange a room for you here for a good night's rest, so that we can follow after a civilized breakfast in the morning. Or we can eat here while the horses are changed, then make the overnight journey to Kendal, where your father and Mr. Grimsitch may be. Though I think my guess is right, they must be making for the nearest point across the border.
And where's that?
Gretna Green.
Then let's take the road to Gretna Green. But you, Edward, what do you wish? I'm completely in your hands. Do whatever you think is right.
Oh, I am in the same position as yourself. If we return to Shrigley, where we might find the bailiffs in, we shall have achieved nothing. And your father's certainly not there. If we spend the night here, I will have lost valuable business hours. I'm due back in France for my own business reasons as quickly as possible. It seems to me that I only fulfill my obligations to your family by catching up with your father. There is another matter, but I will explain that to you in the carriage. Ellen, do you trust my judgment?
Yes, Edward, I do. Poor Papa, he must be in some terrible trouble.
I'm afraid he is. It's far worse than I've so far confided to you.
Worse?
I'm afraid so. But I'll explain it all to you on the way.
I thought this was going to be such a pleasant adventure.
It will be. It will be.
But what will Miss Dolby think when she hears about this? And Mama?
Oh, Miss Dolby thinks you're at Shrigley. Your Mama thinks you're tucked up in bed at school. What they don't know won't hurt them, eh?
Miss Dolby will be shocked.
Poor Miss Dolby.
Good evening, ma'am.
I'm Miss Dolby, Miss Ellen's schoolmistress. I realize how late it is, but I would like to see the High Sheriff for a moment. Is that possible?
Would you please to come inside, ma'am?
Thank you.
It's a cold night. I'll see if the master...
Mr. John?
Miss...
Miss Dolby.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Turner.
Ah, come in, come in. How nice to see you. Well, come into the drawing room where it's warm. It's a cold night.
That's all right, John. I'll see to Miss Dolby.
Thank you, sir. It is indeed cold.
There now. Sit yourself by the fire. Let me take that box from you. Now, will you take some refreshment?
No, indeed, thank you, sir. I have a carriage waiting outside, lent by a friend in Macclesfield. She will worry if I'm late. I really came to satisfy myself that Ellen was home, safe and sound. I brought some things she may need.
Need? Why should she need her school things here when she's at school?
But is she not here, sir? Did you not send for her through Dr. Ainsworth?
Dr. Ainsworth? Ainsworth? Who is Dr. Ainsworth?
Why, Mrs. Turner's doctor, sir.
Just a moment, Miss Dolby. Mrs. Turner is coming down. I've been away on business quite a lot. Perhaps my wife can throw some light on this because I am quite baffled. Ellen is certainly not here.
Oh, dear. They must have had some breakdown on the road from Liverpool. Oh, here is Mrs. Turner.
Good evening, Miss Dolby. Why? What is the matter? Is something wrong with Ellen?
Oh, no, indeed, ma'am. She was in perfect health and spirits when she left me this morning to return here.
My dear, did you send for Ellen to come home?
No, William. Whatever for? What has happened?
Do you know a Dr. Ainsworth?
Ainsworth? No. Where is Ellen?
This morning, sir, your butler brought me this letter from Dr. Ainsworth in your carriage.
Butler? What butler?
Why, Mr. Thibodeau, sir.
Let me see that letter. Steady servant. Dangerous attack of paralysis. New house.
Thibodeau, Miss Dolby. Our butler has no such name, and he has been here all day. What has happened to Ellen?
My dear, try not to upset yourself, but you had better read this tissue of lies.
They must have broken down on the road, sir.
They? Who are they?
Why, Mr. Wickfield, Nellin, sir.
Oh, so now a new name enters the plot. Who is Mr. Wickfield?
Well, I understood from him that he is your friend, sir, from Paris, come to escort Ellen here and stay with you.
Oh, heavens, William, what is this? My poor Ellen.
Try to calm yourself, my dear. We must keep our heads and get to the facts. Just describe this Mr. Wickfield to me.
He arrived from Paris and London to see you, he said. A young man, a gentleman, very elegantly dressed.
Married or single?
I understand he's a widower, sir, with two children.
Had you ever seen him before? Had Ellen?
No, sir, I never saw him before. Neither had Ellen.
Did you allow Ellen to meet any young men?
I would never allow any meeting with young men without your express permission.
So, to sum up, on the strength of a fictitious letter signed by a doctor we do not know, delivered by a butler we do not know, in my carriage, which is in the stable yard, but we must add, backed up by the personable manners of a single man we do not know, you, Miss Dalby, handed over our one and only daughter, an heiress, to two complete strangers. Is that the sum of it? Stop scribbling, woman. Is that it?
Yes. Ellen seemed very willing to go, sir.
So she would, believing that her mother needs her help over the move to a new house. That much is true.
William, I don't understand what has happened.
It is certainly a fraud. It may also be an elopement.
Elopement? But Miss Dalby says...
If Miss Dalby is gullible enough to swallow what these scoundrels told her, she is gullible enough to be taken in by our daughter.
But Ellen would never elope without telling us.
Wouldn't she? It's all the rage these days. No, I trust her. But anything is possible. Did this Wakefield say which direction he was taking?
He said he was to meet you in Manchester, sir.
Well, that's a start. My dear, I must go at once to Manchester and rouse Mr. Grimsditch, alert sheriff's officers, and arrange an arrest warrant. I must stop them, wherever they are. I'll keep you posted. As for you, Miss Dalby, I suggest you return to your school and look for another pupil. Our daughter will never return to you. You are an idiot.
Oh, but William, if it is an elopement, how can she marry? She's 15.
So she is. And there are places that will turn a blind eye to that.
Where?
Across the border, at Gretna Green.
Are you tired, Ellen?
Yes, I am.
Here. You want this extra rug? Yeah. And I suggest you have another brandy. It'll help you to sleep.
Anything you say, Edward.
Now, listen carefully, because a decision has to be made that affects both of us.
Both of us?
Yes. You remember I informed you that your father's bank in Macclesfield had failed? Well, I have an uncle, a rich and cunning old miser, who offered to lend your father enough money at huge interest to tide him over all of his troubles. £60,000, in fact.
Interest?
Yes, that's the extra you pay for the privilege of borrowing. Well, that wouldn't be so bad, except that my uncle's bank in Blackburn has failed as well. Well, I've no special sympathy for my uncle, but I have for your father. And now for you. What's gone sadly wrong is this. Your father gave my uncle the house at Trigley in pawn as security for the loan. Do you follow me?
Yes, I think so.
Now, your father has failed to pay up. My uncle's bank has failed, so what he intends to do is to take possession of Trigley. Your mother, your father, and yourself can be turned out of the house at any moment.
Oh, Edward, more and more. Is that why Papa is running away to escape? Surely he would never leave Mama behind to face all that.
No, no, no. As I see it, he's simply holding out as long as he can away from English law. And with the benefits of Scots law, with a clear head, he can work out a solution.
But my inheritance, won't that solve the situation? I don't give a fig for my inheritance.
Well, according to the note Mr. Grimsditch left me at Halifax, your inheritance can go as well, unless it can be secured in some way. Now, do not shock yourself. Mr. Grimsditch knows his law. He has a solution which will make everything right. Are you warm enough?
What is what Mr. Grimsditch says?
Now, try to keep awake, Ellen. Mr. Grimsditch tells me that the law as it is in England is that your inheritance is secure if it is in the hands of your husband.
My husband? What husband? You have to have bands called when you go to church. Mr. Grimsditch must be mistaken.
No, he's not mistaken. Your property becomes your husband's when you marry.
But I'm underage, surely.
Not in Scotland. Did you know that the Duchess of Marlborough was married when she was 15?
No. No, but
But I must have Papa's consent.
Oh, yes, in England. But your father is so desperate, he's already given his consent. I have a note from Mr. Grimstitch here. You know his handwriting?
No.
It's here. Shall I read it to you now?
No. I have to marry in Scotland. Is that right?
There's only a little more to explain to you. Ellen, are you awake?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mr. Grimstitch has calculated for everything. He knows that I am heir to my uncle. Everything he has will be mine. Ellen, are you awake? I see. Now, little one, I will put my arm around your shoulder. So.
I'm tired.
We both need some rest. Put your head on my shoulder. That's it.
Stop, Terminal.
What is it, sir?
Come over here. Away from the carriage.
Another plan? Have we not succeeded well so far? It's cold. Give you some brandy.
I gave you a bottle in Halifax.
That was gone before Keighley.
It's a wonder we're still on the road. Here. And give some to the post boys. But keep it quiet. She's sound asleep. She's had a long and worrying day, poor girl.
Oh, it's all very well for you two in there. Snug as bugs in a rug. She's very pretty.
She's 15.
No, she would pass for 16 or 17 anyway.
Even so, we must not get caught. Now, I want you to go easily through the night till we reach Kendall. I've given her a strong draught of brandy and water, which she's never had before. I don't want her alarmed. I'm banking on her not waking up at Kendall. If she does, I've got to use the same story I used in Halifax. It's wearing thin. So I want to get on from Kendall to Carlisle as quickly as possible.
What?
I don't want her suspicions aroused. She may be innocent, but she's not stupid, Pierre.
Drive all night, change horses, then another 45 miles to Carlisle? That's asking a lot. Now my reward for this little adventure should be reconsidered, with the addition of more brandy.
You're a rogue, Pierre.
I've been taught by a master, sir. Have you considered, sir, that my silence is worth at least double what you're paying me?
Yes, I have. Have you considered that if we get caught, you will be charged with conspiracy just as I will?
Oh, touché. Very well, Carlisle it is, but I guarantee nothing. What happens if she wakes at Kendall?
If that happens, I want you to fetch a sheriff's officer to the carriage to speak with me.
You are mad?
You will simply make an arrangement with one of the locals, the landlord, if he looks promising, just to ask me who I am. Leave the rest to me.
Oh, I wish we were back in Paris.
We will be. We will be. Good night to you.
Well, now, landlord, when did they arrive?
Here in Manchester, sir. About 12:30.
Landlord, I am Mr. Turner's solicitor. My name is Grimsditch. Could you describe the conveyance?
It were a coach and four, sir. A green coach.
Ah, that's significant, Mr. Turner. Suggests a long journey in prospect.
It might just as easily suggest a journey completed.
Oh, I hadn't considered that.
Begging your pardon, gentlemen. I know for a fact the coach was only purchased day before yesterday, here in Manchester, sir. Ah. So whatever journey this man Wakefield had in mind began here and was to be a long one. Landlord, how long were they here?
Oh, a short while, sir. Mr. Wakefield asked to be informed as soon as the coach was ready.
The young lady with Mr. Wakefield, was she in good spirits?
As far as I could tell, sir.
I see. Did you know where he was going?
Mr. Wakefield said nothing to me, sir, but I heard the postboys grumbling that they might be travelling late. There was talk of making for Lancaster.
Lancaster? Well, that surely would be an overnight journey.
What kind of man was this Wakefield?
A young man, sir. Very personable.
I understood from his servant, sir, that he's a widower who has some government post in Paris.
Thank you, landlord. That will be all.
Thank you, sir.
Some unpleasant light begins to dawn. A young unmarried man lures a young heiress. Everyone knows Ellen is an heiress. He lures her from her school. Then on some pretext, whisks her off to Lancaster. Now, why would he do that? I'll tell you why. It's a guess, but Lancaster is on the road to Gretna Green.
Gretna? Good heavens! Do you mean to say he intends an illegal marriage? Your daughter is underage.
I think we are dealing with a clever rogue. Grimsditch, I want you to follow the likely route. Pick up what information you can and keep me posted. I shall return to Shrigley to comfort Mrs. Turner. There's no time to lose.
But my business, Mr.
For the
Turner.
Time being, my business is your entire world. My purse is open to you. If it's not too late, Ellen must be returned home, as innocent as she left. I hope.
Not a night. I must have a rest.
Oh, my bones ache.
Your bones ache? Well, what about mine? And the post boys. We're all frozen.
Now, of course. I'm sorry. You must rest and eat. We all must. Mrs. Kendall, I suppose.
Yes.
Let me see. Even if Turner heard what happened yesterday, he could hardly have been before the evening. He'd need to make arrangements. He'd need to find out what route we'd taken. All that takes time. Yes, we can afford an hour or so here. Yeah. You stay with Miss Turner a few minutes. I'll go inside to arrange a room.
Don't be too long. I'm hungry.
Edward.
Good morning, Miss Ellen. You slept well?
It's you, Chevener. Where are we?
Kendall.
I see you. How far have we driven?
More than 100 miles.
A long way from home. Where's Mr. Edward?
He went inside the inn to make some inquiries.
About my father?
Of course. He is almost as anxious as you are to find him and Mr. Grimsditch. I inquired at Skipton and Settle and Kirby Lonsdale, but it was the same everywhere. What do you call a moonlight flit?
Oh, dear me, I can hardly keep my eyes open. Poor Papa and poor Mr. Grimsditch, they must be so tired and worried. And poor Mr. Wakefield, he must be sick of the sight of me and my family problems.
Oh, never, Miss Ellen. He is looking very well even at this early hour. I have travelled many times with him. He is strong, determined.
Did you know his wife and his children?
Yes, of course. She was very sweet. He was devoted to her and Nina and Jerningham. He's been very lonely without them. It's not good for a man to live alone.
No, I suppose not.
Here. Over here a minute.
Excuse me, mademoiselle.
Something wrong? No, but we cannot take any chances. You remember the plan we discussed on the road? Well, discard it.
Huh?
There's a real sheriff's officer here. Look over there.
So, what of it? He cannot possibly know about this affair. We can eat.
Of course he doesn't know yet, but if he sees us, he'll remember us. A big carriage with 4 horses always attracts attention. And once they catch up, as they probably will, what could point to us more directly than the carriage with 2 men and a young lady?
I'm hungry.
So are we. We'll take our chance at Shap. That's only 17 miles.
Well, I'm thirsty.
Even your brandy. Oh, very well, but be quick. Here's some money. Buy some bread and cheese to keep us all going till we get to Shat. And some brandy for me, too. I've seen to the horses and post boys. Helen? You all right?
Yes. But why are we travelling on? Is Papa not here?
On the contrary, both he and Mr. Grimsditch are here.
Oh, at last, I must go to them. We can settle everything here and now.
No. You stay where you are.
But why, Edward?
Keep well back and
peep out of the window. Do you see a man in a tall hat in that group of men by the door of the inn?
Yes.
Well, he's a sheriff's officer. The landlord told me he's been asking questions. What he doesn't know is that your father and Mr. Grimstitch are hiding in a back room. They bribed the landlord heavily. And so did I.
Oh, Edward. Will they be discovered?
I hope not. Just by being here, we're diverting the officer's attention. He probably takes note of all travellers, just in case they're fugitives from the law. That's why I'm standing out here, so that he can take a good look at me.
Oh.
A fugitive would hardly do that.
But, Papa...
I saw him, just for a moment. He sends his love to you, but begs you to cross the border as fast as possible. He hopes to join us there. And Mr. Grimstitch begs you to marry at once, so that even if your father's caught, your inheritance is safe. I'm sure he'd prefer you to marry the man of your choice, but... there it is.
I just don't know what to do.
Well, there is one consolation about a Scottish marriage. It's very easy to dissolve in England. If you should choose me, I'm willing. Here, let me get in beside you.
But you, Edward... My family owes so much to you already. What have you to gain from marrying me? We haven't known one another for only a day and a night. You're a man of the world, and I'm...
True marriages are made in heaven, Ellen. I knew after only 2 hours with you that I would come to love you. You have trusted me implicitly, and that means a lot to me. I believe we've got on very well in difficult and uncomfortable circumstances. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
I have observed you very carefully. I know you are young in the ways of the world. And that is natural. This year you'll be 16. Next year, 17. Time will narrow the gap between our ages and experience very quickly. You are very attractive to me. Can I hope that you have some feeling for me?
Yes. You have shown me every kindness.
I've been very lonely these 6 years. My children need someone to take care of them. Do you like children?
Yes, very much.
In France, they say that love often follows an arranged marriage. I've known many examples of it. I can see no reason why we should not be as lucky. I'm not rich, but I'm not poor. We'd be comfortable. We could travel.
Would you show me the world? Your world, Paris, Genoa...
Everywhere. The pyramids of Egypt, Constantinople, Jerusalem. That is only if you stayed with me, of course.
I will do anything to help, Papa.
Of course. But do you think you could come to love me?
Yes, Edward. I believe so.
Thank you. Then I am content. What the devil? Ellen, stay quiet. I'll deal with this.
Yes?
Forgive the intrusion, sir. I approached your coachman, but he can only speak French.
That's not surprising. He is French.
I see. Well, the only reason I trouble you, sir, is that there have been several robbery attempts on mail coaches and coaches of late. May I ask if you noticed anything on your journey from...
Dover, originally.
And may I ask your name, sir? It's just to keep a record.
Certainly. I'm Lord Braxfield. This is my daughter, the Honourable Alison Braxfield. We're bound for Glasgow, then on to Edinburgh.
Lord Braxfield of the High Court of Justiciary, my lord?
Yes, man, yes. Must we suffer any more of your questions, or may we continue?
My lord, I beg your pardon, my lord. Just doing my duty.
Just, sir. And what is your name?
Young, my lord.
Young, is it? I must make a note of that name. I want to commend ye to your masters.
Thank you, my lord.
Wait till you hear what I have to say. Coachman?
Oui, Seigneur.
Go.
Edward, what a liar you are. I could never do it.
Oh, years of practice, my dear. Wait till you're my age. Women are much better at it than men.
Never. Where are we going now?
Chap, for a slap-up breakfast. I'm sure this is not how you imagined it. But this is your wedding day.
Now,
Are you the landlord?
The Lancaster Arms. At your service, sir. Will you partake?
No, no, no. No, landlord, listen carefully. Has a green carriage and four passed this way on the road north?
A green carriage?
Yes, man. Green, with a young man and a young woman in it.
Oh, well, a young man and a young woman in it. Yes, no.
Ah, you've seen them?
No. Oh, but wait a moment, sir. I did serve a young couple in a carriage a while back.
Was it green?
Well, couldn't rightly say, sir. In the dark.
Well, were they travelling north, did they say?
No, sir. They come from north. They came from Gretna. Just married, sir.
Oh, this is hopeless. Listen. If a young man called Wickfield and a young lady called Miss Turner should pass here, you are to inform a sheriff's officer and have them detained.
On whose authority, sir?
On the authority of the High Sheriff of Cheshire, Mr. Turner. Miss Turner is his daughter. I am Mr. Turner's solicitor, Mr. Grimstitch. Do you understand?
Well, they could be anywhere, sir. They could even be at another inn here in Lancaster.
I cannot spend hours touring every inn in Lancaster. I'm going back to Manchester. Here, my man. Here's a shilling for your trouble.
Oh, thank you, sir. I will detain Mr. Turner as soon as I see him.
No, fool! Mr. Wakefield! Oh! Coachman! Turn around! We're going back to Manchester!
This is a very common occurrence in these parts, sir. A wedding. And a bidding for some Bank of England notes.
I understand your price is £20.
Do you understand, too, sir? When I was young, the price for a legal certificate of marriage was £20.
That was the figure I understood.
Ah, yes, that is true. In the old days.
Huh?
Now, am I right in thinking, sir, that you are the companion of an English gentleman, sir? A very smart gentleman.
You is a gentleman, yes?
With a carriage and four horses.
Four horses?
Aye. Well, we have it arranged here, sir, that the price is by the horse. One horse, £10. Four horses, £40.
When this matter was before you before, there was a question of £20.
I am 75, sir, and very hard of hearing. Now, seeing that you are in a hurry, I must readjust my marriages accordingly. The price, when I consider the time lost to me, is £50.
Oh, is that how you do it in Gretna?
Aye. We cut our cloth to the situation. £50.
Are you a Scotch clergyman?
£50. No, I am not. I am an honest man. A blacksmith.
Honest are you? I think that you are a thieving old rogue.
A rogue, am I? Well, then you see this hammer.
Of course.
Do you wish to have an argument with me or with the hammer?
£20.
45. Would you care for me to put this hammer to your Frenchified skull?
£30.
Now we're getting closer.
Correction, £15.
No.
£20.
You're a rascal.
Yes.
Very well. £20 it is. And a bottle of champagne.
£20 and a bottle of champagne. Agreed?
Oh, well. Agreed. You have the ring, Mr. Wakefield.
I have. They're more expensive in Gretna than in London, I assure you.
Well, sir, the price, as you might see, travels with urgency.
Mr. Lang, how long have you been engaged in this traffic of granting certificates?
Oh, near on 50 years, sir.
And have you ever had any trouble with them?
No, with the couple, sir. They're generally in too much of a hurry to have done.
No, I mean the courts of law.
Oh, no, I have been in the courts in Edinburgh and Dublin, and my marriages have always been held good. Across the border, you may get an argument or two, but there's no bother if the father has given his consent.
Oh, that's all right, then. He's done that. He's trying to get here, but I think he's been delayed. He's asked us to press on with all speed. There are special circumstances.
There generally are.
Thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head.
Oh, no offense, sir. No offense.
Yes. Ah, here she is. Ellen, you look charming.
Thank you, Edward. It's all thanks to you. I love my new bonnet and these gloves.
Have you had any word from Papa?
No. For all I know, he may have doubled back on his tracks. He may have gone anywhere from Carlisle. But I have an idea. As soon as we are married, I will arrange for an announcement to appear in the London Times and in all the local papers. If he hasn't been arrested, he's bound to see it. It'll put his mind at rest, and your mother's mind as well.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Now, Devlin and one of the postboys are witnesses. Are you ready?
Yes, Edward.
Mr. Lang?
Hey, will you join Hans? Good. What is your name?
Edward Gibbon Wakefield.
And what is your name?
Ellen Mary Turner of Shridley Hall, Cheshire.
Good. Will you place the ring on the lady's finger? Aye. Good. Edward Gibbon Wakefield, you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
And you, Ellen Mary Turner, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Ye have agreed to take one another for man and wife. So, by the laws of Scotland and by the right of custom invested in me, I do declare ye lawfully man and wife. So, now, Mrs. Wakefield, let me be the first to congratulate ye. Ye may kiss the bride, sir.
Congratulations, madame. That's the shortest £20 worth I ever witnessed.
Thank you, Devineau.
And now for the champagne.
Also at Gretna prices?
Aye, sir, but it's new every day. You're wait to such a body last day.
That's true. Well, we must eat something as well. We have a lot of travelling to do yet.
Shall we be back at Shridley by tonight?
No, that's not possible. We shall have to spend the night on the road. I must get word of your father.
Yes, we must do that.
The question is, where is he? If he'd crossed the border, he'd certainly have come here. As things stand, he doesn't know we're married and must still be on the run. Most certainly, he will not have gone back to Shridley. That would be too dangerous. I think what I'd better do as soon as we reach Carlisle is to get word to Shridley via the mail coach.
Well, at least we know that he is saved.
Yes. Yes, that's the main thing. I think what we will do now is retrace our route, spend the night, and see if any message has come from him. What do you think, Mrs. Wakefield?
Oh, of course. I'm not Ellen Turner anymore, am I?
You'll soon get used to it.
I must write to Mama at once.
Good idea. And now, let's enjoy ourselves. Where's Tevener? You can be quite sure he'll be close to the champagne. Have you ever had champagne?
No.
But will you now?
Yes, please.
Tevener?
Yes, sir.
I think you had your fair share of champagne at Gretna.
You're very pleasant, sir.
Go and order 3 bedrooms for Mrs. Wakefield, myself, and yourself, and a decent meal, and a bottle of brandy.
3 bedrooms, sir?
Trois, Tevenot. Three.
Amazing.
Now, Ellen,
yes,
let's get you up to your room, have a rest, and then we shall eat. I must go and see what news there is of your father. I don't see any sheriff's officers about, so they may have moved on elsewhere. Off you go with Tevenot. I'll come to see you later. Now, Mr. Wakefield, the biggest test of all. Come in. Devineau. Huh? Did you want something?
Just to wish you joy on your wedding night, sir.
It'll be an unusual one. Here, pour me a brandy, will you?
Sir?
No, a large one.
Large, sir?
Yes, large. Do you know what a rogue is, Tevin?
I look in the mirror, sir.
And do you know what a rogue is with gentlemen's feelings?
No, sir, I am not a gentleman, thanks be to God.
Well, there's a subtle distinction. You've done a lot for me, so I'll pour you a glass of oblivion and offer you some advice.
Advice, sir?
Never be a gentleman, Devno. It's a condition that breeds scruples in a man.
Ah, scruples.
A man who has scruples can pass himself off as a gentleman, but he can never succeed as a rogue. And that is the reason why I am in this room, drinking brandy, and my young wife is alone next door. Can you follow me?
I have never suffered from scruples, sir. Later, I shall see if the chambermaid has any.
Well, in your condition, I think you'll be wasting her time.
Oh. You have everything you need, sir.
Just bring me another bottle of brandy. I must sleep on my scruples. Come in.
Good morning, Edward.
Oh.
Did you sleep well?
Oh, well enough. I was up late last night.
Those empty bottles. Hmm? Did you have a gentleman's party last night?
For one, yes.
Oh, I see. Well, have you any news for me about Papa?
Yes. You may not like it.
Now that we have done what Papa wants, I feel that nothing new would surprise me.
Will you ring the bell for some shaving water? I'll feel better then.
My first wifely duty. A pleasure, sir.
Then order a hearty breakfast for us. We have a long, long way to go.
To Shridley?
I've had word from Grimstitch, who was here last night. It seems your father managed to elude the sheriff's officers. He has doubled back, as I thought. Of course, he will not know yet that we are married, but Grimstitch has already set off to tell Mrs. Your mother.
But Papa?
He's taking your mother to your uncle, and then he plans to travel south to London and on to France.
France? Whatever for?
Well, all I can imagine is that your father's not heard our news, still imagines that all is lost, and is crossing the water where no one here can touch him. If we go to Shrigley, we shall find the house empty. Mr. Grimstitch begs you, if you can bear it, to make one last effort.
You mean we are to follow him to France?
To Calais, yes. I have an address. It's not so inconvenient as you might imagine. I have friends and business there. We can begin our marriage en route for...
the pyramid?
Well, why not?
I turned back at Halifax, sir, when I got news that Wakefield was, as you said, making for Gretna Green. Your papers this morning confirm what he has achieved. There's no chance of catching up with them.
Achieved?
Ah. There it is. This morning at Gretna. Married. Proceeding to Paris via Calais. What's the law on this?
If Miss Ellen is not party to an elopement, that is to say, if she was taken to Gretna and married by some deceit, it is a clear case of abduction. If the servant or anyone else is involved in the matter, it is also a case of conspiracy.
But is the marriage legal in England?
That may be very difficult to settle one way or the other.
Abduction, conspiracy, I don't give a fig which it is. When I catch up with this fellow, I will blow his brains out.
With respect, sir, that would make your daughter a widow and yourself a murderer.
Well, what does the damned law say? Am I to shake this new son-in-law by the hand and give him the keys to Shrigley?
The case may prove to be unique. There is no doctrine in Scottish law which lays down that any deception short of a mistake in the identity of the person invalidates the marriage.
Very good, Grimsditch. Very smart. There is no case of mistaken identity here, is there?
No.
So the marriage is legal?
Well, yes.
In England, this is classed as a felony, yes. So it's a felony on one side of the Tweed and a meritorious action on the other. That is very singular. In England, we send the thief to prison, and in Scotland, they reward him with his booty. Can Ellen testify in court?
Wakefield, if we get him to court, would argue that being legally married, she's incompetent as a witness against her husband.
So she can be abducted, deceived, married underage without my consent, and she may not make any complaint in a court of justice. This is what we do, Grimstitch. We pack our bags for Calais.
Now?
10 minutes ago.
Dear, oh dear, what will Mrs. Grimstitch think?
Well, at least I can horsewhip him.
Have a care, Mr. Turner. We do not yet know the state of Ellen's feelings in the matter. If you horsewhip her husband, she may appear as a witness against you.
You mean to say she may have taken to the man?
Well, he is, by all accounts, a handsome and charming man. She is undoubtedly an attractive girl, much more of a woman than of a schoolgirl. And they have spent 2 days and nights together.
You don't think he...
Why not? They are married?
I don't know how I am going to break the news to my wife. It will break her heart.
Come and look out of the window. It's a beautiful morning.
Yes, it is. Oh, put your arm round my waist. What? I mustn't fall out.
That would never do. You look lovely this morning, Ellen. You happy?
Ever since I was a little girl, when Papa told me stories about the war against Bonaparte, I've dreamed of coming to France.
And now you are here. Do you like it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, what do you like to do today? Shall we do some shopping for you? Perhaps we could have 2 days' rest. Go to the play tonight.
You're so kind and gentle with me, Edward.
Kiss me. No, no, not like that. Like this.
Edward.
What is it, my love?
I want to be completely happy with you now, but...
But what?
Nearly 4 days and nights have passed, and still I have no word of Papa. My happiness will be complete when I see him. I must see him.
And so you shall. He must know where we are by now. I'm sure he's in Calais.
I do hope so. I have written again to Mama. Will you post the letter for me while I dress?
It really matters to you, doesn't it?
Of course. Up to now, my mamma and papa have meant more to me than anything else in the world. I married you to help papa. You said that love might come after an arranged marriage, and I believe you. Mm. You are already very different to me now than when I first met you.
And now?
Like this.
Hello, wife. Shall we be in one room tonight?
No, husband. Yes.
Ellen, I want to ask you a simple question. Supposing that you'd met me in the ordinary way, at your father's house, without all the business we've been through, do you think you would have come to feel the same way?
Yes, I do. What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I'm just cursing my impatience and fate and the irony of things. Ellen, if you knew I had done something wrong, if I had lied to you, if I had deceived you in some way, would you hate me?
How strangely you talk, Edward.
No, but would you?
I think I should be very hurt. But you wouldn't deceive me, would you? Now come. Be happy and post my letter.
I'm sure this is the place. How's your French, Grimsditch?
Somewhat erratic.
Monsieur?
Vous désirez, monsieur?
Avez-vous en chambre avec un monsieur?
Comment?
Let me try, Mr. Turner. Avez-vous un chambre ici avec un monsieur, avec une mademoiselle?
Oh, non, c'est un hôtel comme il faut.
Monsieur Wakefield.
Wakefield? Ah oui, madame est très gentille. Ils sont mariés depuis 4 jours.
What's the fellow say?
He says they're on the fourth floor.
Ils sont de premier étage.
What's that?
I don't know. He seems to have changed his mind.
Forgive me, gentlemen. Can I be of any service to you?
Oh, thank God for someone who speaks a proper language. My name is Turner, sir. This is my solicitor, Mr. Grimsditch. I understand there is a Mr. Wakefield here with his wife.
Gentlemen, yes, there is. I'll take you up to the apartment. Mrs. Wakefield? A surprise for you.
Surprise, Edward? How lovely. Oh, Papa! Papa, you're
safe! My child!
Oh, Papa, I can hardly believe it. Is Mama all right?
Yes, child.
Oh, Papa, we have been chasing after you everywhere to give you the good news that your money is safe.
Eh?
Well, Papa, this is the man who made it all possible. This is Mr. Wakefield, Papa.
Your servant, gentlemen.
You! You are the scoundrel who carried off my daughter!
But, Papa, I tried to speak with you in Carlisle, but the sheriff's officers were looking for you.
Has he turned your mind, child? I was never in Carlisle in all my life.
But Kendall and the bank failure.
Kendall, what lies are these? Bank failure? Our affairs are in perfect order.
But, Edward, what is this?
I had better leave you a moment with your father, Ellen. I'll be next door with Mr. Grimsditch.
Consider yourself lucky I am unarmed.
Ellen, come sit here. Some terrible trick has been played on you.
Trick? I don't understand.
I hardly know how to begin with you, sir. You got possession of a mere girl whom you had never seen before by means of a forged letter.
Yes. I'm sorry, but yes.
You have destroyed the peace and happiness of a family. Mrs. Turner is beside herself with anguish and is now almost as ill as you pretended in your letter. You deserve to be shot.
I have a daughter myself. If any man were to take her off in the same manner, I believe I should send a bullet through his head.
Well, you are cool enough. But why? Why did you do this dreadful thing?
I eloped with my first wife, Mr. Grimsditch, and her people were reconciled. I thought the same possible. I needed money to bring up my children. I was lonely. Ellen was represented to me as a fine girl and heiress to a large fortune. And I determined to possess her. It's as simple as that. If I had any doubts about convincing you and her family of my sincere regard for her, I should have left Calais with her long before you arrived.
Convincing me hardly matters. Your story is for a judge and jury.
Ah, you intend to prosecute me?
We do indeed. I have a warrant and a dispatch from the Secretary of State to Lord Granville in Paris.
Well, that will not take me across the water.
Perhaps not. But if you have any genuine feeling for Ellen and for her reputation, you will return to England and face trial.
But the marriage is legal, isn't it? If it is, I must keep her. If it is not, I can have no claim on her.
Your offence was committed in England, and it is under English law that you will be judged. And in English law, your marriage is illegal. Have you no scruples at all? You have spent 4 days and nights with her, and all that that implies. What does it matter what the world says about you? But what will the world say about her? And what about that fellow, Thévenot? Where is he?
He's gone on to Paris.
Edward, is this true?
You have heard everything.
This letter to Miss Dolby, you did this?
Yes.
All those stories about Papa and Mr. Grimsditch running from sheriff's officers, all lies?
Yes, Ellen, everyone.
Oh.
Ellen, I asked you only a few minutes ago if you would forgive me if I deceived you.
Deceived me? Yes. Yes, I think I would have forgiven you for deceiving me, but that's not all you have done. You have brought misery and anguish to my papa and my mamma, who is ill.
I did not intend to hurt them, Ellen.
But you have hurt them.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Miss Ellen, this fellow calmly asks me if your marriage is legal. All he wants is your money.
Oh, the money. I feel as if I've grown up very fast. I believed every word you said, Edward. Oh, I could beat my brains out. I was so stupid. The money, that's what you wanted.
At first, yes, I admit that. But afterwards, do you remember a few minutes ago how we were? How we could be.
Oh, Papa, can we go home?
Of course, child. Oh, of course.
Ellen, you will acknowledge before your father and Mr. Grimsditch that I have behaved to you as a gentleman. We have these 4 days and nights been as brother and sister.
You have said enough, Wickfield. I am taking my daughter home to Shrigley.
Ellen, I want you to stay with me.
Stay with you? Edward, I would stay with you if you could undo the damage you have done to my papa and mamma. You can't do that. The great adventure is finished. I don't care about the hurt to me. Oh, I was so looking forward to buying new clothes with you.
Ellen.
No.
Come, my child. Come.
You see how the land lies, Mr. Wickfield. I leave it to your honor. if you have any honor. It seems that the French law will not allow us to take you back under arrest. Well, what do you propose to do now? Somehow, I don't think that you're an entirely bad man, Mr. Wakefield.
Bad? I hope not. Well, not entirely. Turbineau told me it was Rouge et Noir.
What's that? Some gambling game?
Yes, it's called roulette. If I'd been the banker, I would have won, perhaps. Mr. Grimstitch, we've not met before. I give you my word that as soon as I've made some necessary arrangements for my children in Paris, I promise to you that I will submit myself for trial in England.
At Lancaster?
At Lancaster.
You realize what may happen?
Oh, yes. I will do what is right by Ellen. Will that suit you?
Yes. Let's get it settled.
What time does the court convene tomorrow, Grimstitch?
8 o'clock, Mr. Turner.
How do you fancy our chances? The man's held up proceedings for a whole year. Is he going to slip through the net?
No, there is no question of his guilt. Everything hinges on Erin. Will she give evidence against her husband?
Yes. Well, she has grown up a lot in the year. Sometimes I think she has some feeling still for the rascal. But will the marriage be declared null and void?
I don't think the Lancaster court can decide that. If all Gretna marriages were declared illegal, it would make bastards of hundreds of men and women from the aristocracy downward.
My dear Helen, all ready for tomorrow?
I am quite composed, William. But Ellen is being very mysterious. Oh, Papa, we have been through all this over and over again. It's all such a long time ago. 4 days and nights. No one came to any harm.
You young people have short memories.
No. I remember it all as if it were yesterday. And I haven't the heart to destroy Edward. He did me no harm.
Forgive the indelicacy, Ellen, but suppose his counsel suggests that there had been some intimacy between you.
You mean, did we consummate the marriage?
Ellen!
Facing the rumours, Mama. You know what has been suggested in the newspapers here and in France? That we, as man and wife...
Scandalous!
Is it? What do young women think about, talk about, and hope to do?
Ellen! Such talk!
Is it? It's the way of the world. If you and Miss Dolby had taught me something about men and women and a little less about arithmetic, I would not have been so naive. I would have seen through Edward's scheming. I would have asked questions. Oh, he was wise to pick out an ignorant girl of 15. But now... after a year thinking about it, I realize I need his help.
His help? How so?
Why, Papa, if I wish to marry again, and I do...
Are you planning to marry young Andrew Lee?
I have been thinking about it, but he's not likely to ask me if he hears in court that I may be a scarlet woman.
Rumors.
Yes, Mama, but they exist. Now, Mr. Grimstitch, I am willing to give evidence against Edward on one condition.
A little late for conditions, Miss Ellen. The trial's tomorrow morning.
Ellen, I realize that it is unusual for a wife to give evidence against her husband.
Everything that happened was unusual. My condition is this. I must speak to Edward.
Impossible.
Unless I speak to Edward, there is no telling what tricks he will play. I have got to appeal to his better nature.
He is all evil, that man.
No, Mama. He is devious, yes, but he has scruples. I was his wife in Penrith, in London, in Calais, and he never touched me.
Never touched?
Not what you mean, Mama. Well, Mr. Grimstitch, you will arrange it.
It is most irregular, but... Wakefield will need to be escorted from the jail to the court tomorrow morning. I will see what can be done.
Good morning, wife.
Good morning, husband. Edward, you know I am on the list for crown witnesses.
But you can't give evidence against me. You are my wife.
I told you I would never forgive you for what you did to my mama and papa. So whatever the outcome of this trial, I will never come to you. I shall do everything in my power to dissolve this marriage.
I see. Is that final?
It is. You were four very exciting days and nights in my life, and I shall never forget them. I could almost thank you for them.
I wish things had been different.
So sometimes I do, too. But there it is. With all my money, we could have been in Venice now.
All the pyramids.
You know, Edward, one thing about you puzzles me. From what I've learned, you planned the whole affair down to every detail. You have a great brain. Could you not put it to some better use than the abduction of foolish schoolgirls?
I fancy I will have time to think about that a great deal when this hearing is over.
And what has happened to Tevenot?
He's disappeared.
No scruples.
No scruples.
If you still have any, Edward, will you do me a favour? When our marriage comes to an end, I hope to marry a neighbour of ours, a Mr. Andrew Lee.
And you don't want me to stand in your way?
I don't want to be cross-examined by your counsel about whatever passed between us those four nights.
No details.
It would hurt him dreadfully, and I would be tainted forever.
If it will give you any comfort, Ellen, I have already instructed counsel not to press for details.
I see. Thank you, Edward.
I could have made you love me.
You did.
Goodbye, wife.
Goodbye, husband.
Scruples. Edward Gibbon Wakefield went to Newgate Prison for 3 years. It took a special bill passed by Lords and Commons to declare his marriage null and void. Ellen did give evidence against her husband and was not severely cross-examined. She did marry Mr. Lee and died in childbirth in 1831. As for the villain of the piece, Wakefield wrote one of the most important books there are on capital punishment, another on colonial reform, the famous Letters from Sydney. He became an eminent colonial statesman, the founder of an empire and builder of the Commonwealth. He inspired the Durham Report on the affairs of British North America. He helped to found South Australia and New Zealand. His influence on British colonial policy was colossal. His name is remembered with respect and even reverence. Edward Gibbon Wakefield never married again. In The Road to Gretna Green by Peter Hunt, Martin Jarvis played Edward Gibbon Wakefield and Rosalind Ayres, Ellen Turner. Thieve Knot was Sean Barrett, Miss Dalby, Daphne Oxenford, Mr. Grimsditch, Geoffrey Banks, Mr. Turner, Paul Webster, and Mrs. Turner, Rosalie Williams. The Blacksmith was David Marlowe, and other parts were played by Howard Benbrook, Myra Stoll, and Peter Wheeler. The play was produced in Manchester by Tony Cliffe.